Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Tronny Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Tronny Trev.
Yeah, very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev. Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National News Radio Service. And you can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, COVID-19 shines a light on health literacy. And the National Rural Health Alliance, the peak body for rural and remote health in Australia, has echoed calls for governments to address health literacy in the face of the COVID-19 pandemic. And we're going to catch up a yarn with National Rural Health Alliance CEO, Dr. Gabriel O'Kane, on the line. Doctor, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm very well, thank you.
Thank you for coming to the program. Now, this is important all the time, but especially in the face of COVID-19, yes?
Well, very much so, because we need to make sure that the messaging gets out to everybody about what they have to do, because it's been really interesting with this pandemic that, you know, the whole community has to get involved. It can't be just sort of one segment of the community, but the entire community that has to be part of all of that. So if we don't get our messaging clear to everybody, you know, the way in which we can sort of flatten the curve, as they say, we're not going to be very successful.
Well, the pandemic is not discriminative, isn't it? It'll just tackle anybody. So we need to adhere and work together to make this happen, to contain the virus as such.
Yeah, well, that's right. But, you know, if people don't, you know, understand what they have to do, then that makes that whole issue quite difficult.
Yes. Well, they say knowledge is power. So what you're talking about is make sure that knowledge is out and about and people are picking up the knowledge.
That's precisely it. So, look, what's been really good, I think, even though, look, a lot of the messaging might have been quite confused for some people in the early stages, what's been really good, I think, over the last couple of weeks, and I guess it's because people have just got time, have had more time to mobilise, but a lot of the messaging now is getting clearer for people, and organisations, you know, for Aboriginal organisations, for example, NACHO, which is the National Aboriginal Community Controlled Organisation, they've started to develop some really good you know, resources that helps people to make some of those decisions that they need to do about washing hands, keeping social distance, etc.
So we're virtually asking for the government to not forget to add to the platform, so to speak, and regarding the knowledge or the information, the literacy is what you're talking about, to make sure it gets out there to the mob.
Well, that's right, because, you know, it's really important to make sure that the type of messaging is actually something that resonates for people. So, you know, it's the wording that's used, the language that's used. All of those things really matter for people to be able to pick up the correct message and do what they're, you know, what we're actually asking people to do. But if you don't sort of understand the language or it seems too complex, then the message just doesn't get through to people.
Well, pardon the punt, but it becomes Chinese whisper, doesn't it? Yeah, pardon the punt. There's so many facets of that statement.
Yeah.
You know,
well, that's a really good comparison, because it does become like that. And then what happens is that you get the people put out messages that are inaccurate, and you know, it makes it really hard for people. They get confused. They don't know what they really should be doing. So making sure that the really accurate work gets out there, and that should be coming from government and all other organisations that people trust.
And using all the platforms that are available, especially social media, and talking about the internet and you know, telehealth and all the above, yes?
Well, that's right. I mean, one of the things that we've been working with the NBN about is actually just making sure that all of the different communities are actually getting proper access to the internet as well, but also working to try and make sure that it's affordable for people. So So that's another aspect. It's not so much around the whole issue that we're talking about here today about health literacy, but, you know, one of the ways in which many people get their information these days is through social media, and it is through, you know, internet connections with on websites and all the rest of it. So we have to make sure that those things are available for as many people as possible as well.
Mm. Now, the National Rural Health Alliance pre-budget submission, what can you tell us about that?
Oh, well, one of the components of that was actually around, you know, digital health and making sure that both consumers or the general public are able to use digital health platforms like maybe Skype or Zoom or those sort of things. We were actually calling on government to basically fund us to be able to do more of that in rural areas for people. But we're also interested in having potentially some bursaries for health professionals themselves, because a lot of the health professionals haven't necessarily used telehealth themselves, so they're not familiar with all the different platforms that are available to them and which ones are more secure than others, those sort of things. So it's been really interesting that people have had to learn a lot of that stuff very quickly. But we can't assume that everybody does know how to do it efficiently and really well for people.
Well, I think we should all go to the number one source for the education on those platforms. Those are our 12-year-olds. They know it, don't they?
That's right. Yeah, it's always the kids that know how to use
exactly.
this stuff.
Which is fantastic. Look, it's a very important space. So, look, thank you very much for sharing. And the National Rural Health Alliance are doing their bit and making sure health literacy is in the spotlight. So thank you very much, and all the best to you and your Dedly team. And thank you for the conversation. And you stay safe and stay strong, my sister.
Oh, you too as well. Thank you, Trevor, very much.
All the best, Dr. Gabriel. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. A beautiful yarn there is Dr. Gabriel O'Kane, a National Rural Health Alliance CEO, and the COVID-19 shines a light on health literacy is the headline there. And the National Rural Health Alliance, the peak body for rural and remote health in Australia, has echoed calls for governments to address health literacy in the face of COVID-19 pandemic. Have your say, you mob. Add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. That deadly number is 1-800-422-416. Yarning with the ball, you're on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumber Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go now, we're going to go to and have a chat with Trevor Shulton, Heart Foundation Director of Active Living, and talk about Indigenous Design winners announced by Heart Foundation Walking. Let me just paint that picture. The colours represent the Torres Strait Islands. The blue wavy lines represent the ocean. The flag represents the Torres Strait people. The hand represents the strength and courage of the Torres Strait Island people. This is how 17-year-old Veronica Hewson, one of two winners in the Heart Foundation Walking's inaugural Indigenous polo shirt design competition, describes her eye-catching entry. So we're going to catch up with Jan now. We've got Trevor Shulton on the line. Very good morning, Trevor. How are you?
Good morning. Very well. Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, first of all, paint the picture regarding the design, the announcing the winners of the Heart Foundation Walking. How long has this been running for? And tell us about the two winners.
We launched this back in January. We asked 80 Indigenous, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander organisations around Australia, schools, organisations, community groups, to take part in the competition. And they were asked to create designs that showed the connection to community, to health, to equity, and to walking and being active. Mm-hmm. And we were astonished by the creativity and the quality, the imagination of the winners. And so you mentioned Veronica Hewson. She took out the Torres Strait Islander category, and she had the striking blue, green and white design that you described. Mm-hmm. She lives in northern Queensland in Alumba, and she's a student at Jarragon College in Gordonvale. So she took out the Torres Strait Islander category. The winner of the Aboriginal category is also at Jarragon College, but she is...
Go Jarragon College!
Yeah, she's a boarder there from... Amata in the far northwest of South Australia, about 115 kilometres from Uluru.
Okay.
So Nadia's beautiful design was her Dreamtime story about Aboriginal walking and culture and connection. So yeah, as I said, we were very pleased and astonished really with the quality of the artwork. And so these two winners will go on to the design of a Heart Foundation polo shirt, which we'll be giving to walk leaders in Aboriginal communities who run walking groups and walking initiatives.
Fantastic. It'll be a fantastic initiative in regarding getting young ones involved, and also highlighting the fact that the heart disease is out there and very prevalent with our mob, First Nation people. How are we travelling in that space in regarding heart disease?
Well, as you just said, it is a major cause of death. It's the major cause of death in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, and at about double the rates of non-Indigenous Australians. And because of that, it's a major contributor, perhaps the major contributor to the life expectancy gap, which people are well aware of. On a positive note, physical activity and walking and the connections between physical health and mental health are very, very important, and of course it's understood by Aboriginal people for many, many generations because of the importance of walking in things like hunting and fishing and walking on country and connection with culture. So this artwork really captures that, if you like, the connection between health and culture so beautifully well. But I think walking is so easy to do.
Sure.
And it will prevent heart disease, it'll prevent diabetes, it'll improve your mental health. It really is a very important thing for Aboriginal people to be doing to improve their health.
When we're talking about young ones getting involved via an Indigenous design as such, by the Heart Foundation Walking, that also educates the young ones at this young age going into adulthood regarding their health and regarding their hearts and looking after their heart, yes?
Yes, it does. I mean, both the health messages, whether it's physical activity or healthy eating or just staying healthy and looking after your mental health, and these are very, very important for young people and for families. And, you know, we also, of course, recognise the connection of all of that with culture. So it's very important, as everybody knows, to involve the younger generations in these discussions and in these activities because they will be the people who have an impact on the health of communities into the future.
Fantastic. Look, it's you mentioned the two winners there. What happens with the two winners now? What do they receive as such?
Well, they receive a small cash prize from us, as well as, of course, their own shirt, which they can wear proudly. And they'll be fortunate enough to see people all around Aboriginal communities wearing these shirts, and I'm sure that will bring them a good level of pride. Yes.
Fantastic. Beautiful. Well, thank you very much for sharing. Congratulations to the two daily winners. Is this this an inaugural thing? So we're looking at an annual event as such.
Yes, we do. We're looking at it extending this, and whether it will be a T-shirt, perhaps next time it will be a poster or some other piece of health education or communication. But we're looking at what we might do with this to continue it going forward.
Well, fantastic, Trevor. Thank you very much for sharing. All the best to you and your deadly team. And look, in this time that we're living in, the space we're living in at the moment regarding COVID-19, look, you take care of yourself, stay safe, and we'll talk soon, Trevor.
Thank you very much for your time this morning.
All the best. Bye-bye.
Stop.
That's Trevor Shilton, his name is, Heart Foundation Director of Active Living, and inaugural Indigenous design winners announced by Heart Foundation Walking. And look, fantastic seeing getting the young ones involved. And congratulations, Jarrigan, with the two winners coming from there, and both Aboriginal and Torres Strait Island applicants there in that foundation walk there. Fantastic. Have your say, your mob. Yarn Up Strong here on National Talk Black. We're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns. That's BB and Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National News Radio Service. So call me on that number, 1-800-422-416. Yarn with the bully one, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Nakari, taking right through the 12 noon. And that's 11:21 here at the moment in sunny North Queensland, so 30-odd minutes ago. Give us a call.
Take me back to the old. Bye.
Not sure who to turn to for legal advice?
Want someone who knows what you and your mob need?
And need to find someone you can trust? Call Marawa Law.
They are the nation's leading independent Indigenous legal firm and the legal advisor of choice for government, business and traditional owner groups in the commercial and Indigenous law sector.
They are 100% Indigenous owned and help their clients with the right advice in native title, joint ventures, leasing, property and lots more.
Visit marawalaw.com.au or call today on 07 404 13088. Choose a law firm that understands you.
Marawa Law. Station sponsor. Little things, big things grow. From
little things, big things grow. G'day you mob, this is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah, that deadly number again, 1-800-422-416. Give the Murray a call. Let's have a yarn. The Murray is the bully one. Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from your First Nation radio station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumba Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National News Radio Service. We go across the country, mob, have your say, and yarn up strong. Otherwise, text me 045-140-550. That's the text number. And we're yarning up strong here across this deadly network or First Nation radio stations. And a message there for the Australian Government's National COVID-19 Helpline. Don't forget that number, 1-800-020-080. The number again for Australia's Government's National COVID-19 Helpline, 1-800-020-080. And look, need to keep safe, your mob. Do what you need to do to keep safe, and that's staying at home. If you leave at home, only for essential stuff, whether it's a doctor's appointment or exercise or getting food, then straight home. That's what you need to do. Keep it safe. We're flattening out the curve, which is what we need to be doing in regarding this virus, and there's no vaccine as such, so containing it is the best medicine, you could say. So do what you need to do. Stay at home if you are travelling around, two people only, and 1.5 metres social distance, they say. Keep away from each other, 1.5 metres, but I say keep the social up, but keep the physical distance, 1.5 metres. Get a cough or sneeze into your elbow, make sure you do that, otherwise your tissue, discard it. By doing that, we will contain this virus and get normality back in their life. Have your say, you mob. Yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416.
We'll be right back. folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Yeah, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. That's the number you need to call. Have your say and yarn up strong here on your daily program, National Talk Black. We're across the nation thanks to NERS. We're housed at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns, Bivvy and Bumba Brit Media, 19.7 FM. And that daily number is 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text the brother 045-714-0550 and our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. All right, going to catch up with cousin Rob Hollingsworth, PLO, Police Liaison Officer from Edmonton Police, and with their segment Which Way Yarning, proudly sponsored by Piconi, IGA, Brinsmead and Edmonton. And they give us a box of food here at Bumma Brisbane Media for healthy living, healthy life. So the message we deliver on the line. Cousin Rob, good morning. How are you? Hey, shut up, Rob. Cousin Rob, we'll try and get you back and have your yarn and continue our conversation. And look, we've had this yarn so many times before on Which Way Yarning, and it's our engagement with the boys and girls in blue. And Cousin Rob Hollingsworth came up with the initiative about two years ago, and we still run with this daily program, Daily Yarning, and have communication with our mob in the blue uniform. But we are travelling here at a very different world in regard to the COVID-19, and keep doing what you're doing regarding the rules that are in place. And I think that's the topic we're going to talk about with Cousin Rob, keeping communities safe from coronavirus, remote area travel restrictions and all that sort of stuff. I think I've got Rob on the line now. Cousin Rob.
Yeah, Trip, how you going, mate?
I'm good, my brother. I'm good. Sound like you're in a tunnel, brother. Where are you calling from?
Yeah, no, I'm at Edmonton Station with the Inspector Glenn Delloy. Are you here with me?
Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Kirby. You're looking well.
Yeah, that's good, brother. Do you want my bank details? Hey, gentlemen, it's good to hear the laughter going on, which is very important in the space that we're living in at the moment. And this COVID-19, and that's the topic we're going to talk about today, gentlemen. Is that right?
Yeah, that seems to be the topic all around, doesn't it?
Exactly, yeah, mate.
Yeah, so we really want to have a talk about some of the communities I've been involved with are in that declared area. So they're obviously starting to feel a bit of the pinch with the community lockdowns. We are getting some sort of pushback with the community. Not a huge amount. Most people are happy to see that that the government is looking after Indigenous communities and,
yes,
and they're doing everything they can to keep the virus from them. But you know, of course, anyone that gets locked down for any period of time can start to experience a little bit of cabin fever.
Mm-hmm,
and,
yep.
And start questioning why and. You know, and obviously pointing their finger around on, you know, why some services are allowed into the community and they are not allowed out.
It becomes frustrating, doesn't it? And like I said, all four walls closing in on a person, but it's all for safety of the community as well as yourself, isn't it?
Yeah, of course, and you know, it is certainly for the community's safety. But at the same time, we can't prevent essential services from coming into them communities, you know. We still need our food to get in there. We still,
yes,
need our health services. We still need our law and order. But that goes right down to, you know, the plumber that comes in and fixes a broken toilet, you know. We need them things to still occur.
Yes.
So there are measures in place to allow essential services in the community. But sometimes there's a lot of grey area there and it's not clean cut and some people become confused whether they are allowed in or allowed out. Ultimately, the decision lies with the police on those vehicle checkpoints on who's coming and going.
Well, it is a case of one rule for one, different rule for another regarding services that need to be provided in communities. That's what it is, isn't it?
Yeah, look, it seems that way, you know, and I suppose sometimes the question gets raised, you know, why we have, you know, an essential service that's, you know, if it is a plumber, why we need two plumbers to come into a community. Look, the whole system's set up to minimise contact with the people in the declared areas, with people outside, you know, so let's hope there's some sort of curtain up there that, you know, minimises that contact and you know, along with your social distancing and your personal hygiene, that we can keep these communities virus free for the whole duration of this event and we come out the other side. you know, I mean, it's well discussed, Trevor, that, you know, if this virus was to let loose in some of these communities, that the effects would be devastating. You know,
well, it'll cause havoc, wouldn't it? You know, and the description I'm looking at is like a stationary ocean liner. You know, when you look at the Ruby Princess, what have you, a small community like so, it could go like wildfire, couldn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And look, I mean, look, from all the information we have is that you know, people, the frightening part, may have the virus and then for many days afterwards be coming in contact with other people and spreading the virus and not knowing themselves that they've actually that they're positive. So that's the scary part about this and why it spreads so freely amongst their community when it's present.
Especially with the elderly people, vulnerable people and disabled people. I mean, we've got to take that on board as well in regarding the thought process.
Yeah, Trevor, just in relation to that, you know, our old seniors are very important people to us all.
Yes.
It's in the best interest that we look after them. You know, as for myself, you know, I try to do the best I can for mum and dad.
Yes.
Told mum to do a shopping list and I'll go and do a little bit of shopping for her, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, just all those family members out there, you know, support them, older people. You know, they supported you in the past. So let's get out there and just help them and try to restrict their movements so they don't catch this terrible disease.
Well, exactly, Rob. And look, at the same time, while we're on that topic, give my love to your beautiful mum and dad, Mummy Dora and Uncle Bob. And like I went, it's me and my two boys, you know, living at home. We went out and had dinner with Dad, but we ate from the backyard. We went to the back fence and ate from back there. And we were sitting on grass, a nice mat, you know. Dad said that, and he sat on the patio there and having his dinner. But it was just good to catch up and have a yarn, you know, touch base. And my big sister's beautiful, doing her shopping for Dad, so we're doing our bit in that sense, and that's what we're talking about, eh? It's a different movement as such, but we can still be engaged as such, yes?
That's right, and you know, I'm sure everyone's got a grandparent in their lives, so there must be thought of all the time, when, especially with this thing hanging around. Yeah.
For sure. Glenn, you're currently acting Inspector Current Country Patrol Group. Tell us about that space you're working in there.
So I'm looking after, you know, a number of stations in the Cape and in the southern end of Cairns. So, you know, the Indigenous communities are Hopewell, Woodjill, and Yarrabah, but obviously I'd consider Laura to be part of that group.
Yes, yes.
And, you know, all of those areas are within declared areas. So some of the issues that we're having is we've got these vehicle checkpoints in place to prevent people from entering that shouldn't be. Look, we do have people that sneak out. They'll, you know, for whatever reasons.
Sure.
And then come back into the community. The one that I think of the main reason is to get alcohol into some of these communities. And we, you know, we've really got to get a message out to those people and the people who facilitating these people for doing that this virus can be carried by any person.
Yes.
And they may not know they've got the virus. So if they're trying to get around these measures that we've got in place, potentially they're putting their own community in grave danger.
And, of course they are.
You know, I mean, I'm very fearful of seeing someone who innocently thinks that they're, you know, they're going to blow one of these vehicle checkpoints and get around it by deceit or whatever. And then all of a sudden, they become the person that caused an outbreak in the community. You know, I mean, the community is going to be angry at them, their family's going to be angry at them. And
exactly.
Whatever their reason was in the first place to try and get around the lines, it's never worth the lives of some of the elderly people in our communities.
Plus their family members as well. So, yeah, very important message there. So to all our mob out there, and take on board the rules that are in place. They are there for a reason and we need to abide by them.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
just remember that travelling essentials, you know.
Yes.
Only drive if you really need it. You know, it's really needed. Don't just go for your little drive or a little cruise around.
Yeah.
And also the number of people in the vehicles.
Well, exactly.
If we could have, Trevor, at least two or three in the vehicle, you know, can't have a big group car full. That's just going to be,
Yeah, going outside
and
the rules.
From community to another community, you know, we do have people that might, you know, have family and relations in other communities.
Of course.
Look, this is a difficult time for everyone, not just Australians, worldwide. We're fortunate we've got social media that we can keep in contact with family, and that should be used as much as possible.
Exactly.
Again, it would be nothing worse than seeing a community have an outbreak and then it's actually gone and jumped to another community because someone's unnecessarily gone and visited someone from another community.
Well, exactly. If you're the culprit, you have to live with that and the effects of that and the after effects of that.
It's an invisible commodity, Trev, this COVID-19.
It is.
You know, we don't know who's got it, where it is.
Mm, exactly.
So, that's what we have to monitor ourselves. And
fantastic.
Yeah, look, the whole point is we're just trying to minimise that contact. And it's look, the community is doing a great job. That, you know, look, I mean, we only have to look at our figures in Australia. The community's doing an awesome job.
Mm.
And it's difficult, you know. When you talk about, like, going to dinner with your father, that would have been difficult for him not to be able to give you all a hug when you left, you know.
Well, exactly, that's right, you know. Yeah.
And a lot of grandparents are in the same position, you know, and a lot of younger children are in that position too. You know, they can't understand why they can't go and hug their grandparents, you know. But, look, so long as we're playing by the rules, we're listening to the advice of the chief health officer, listen to the advice of the government, and hopefully by this time next year we're all talking about this and singing our successes rather than any failures.
Exactly. Well, beautiful information. Thank you very much for the chat, boys, and look, all the best to you and your deadly team, and look, stay safe, and we'll be yarning soon, my brothers.
Thank you, Trevor.
Two Deadly Beautiful Yarn with Cousin Rob Hollingsworth, PLO, Police Liaison Officer, and also Senior Sergeant Glenn Deloy at the Edmonton Police there. But also Glenn is currently Acting Inspector Current Country Patrol Group. So he's got a lot on his plate at the moment. But it's about us mob doing our bits and abiding by the rules, and that's staying at home. If you're talking about, we're talking about mob and community, stay in your community. Don't leave the community. And if you do, you could cause havoc in regarding you coming back with the coronavirus that you don't know that you got, and then it goes like wildfire, and then we need to love and respect our elders and protect them. Have your say, your mob. Yarn up strong here on your daily program. 1-800-422-416 is the number you need to call. Yarn with the Bully Run, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. We've got about 15 minutes left on the program, and we're housed at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM, and we go via NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can text the brothers as well, 045-714-0550, and a voice for our people. So do add to the conversations and tell us how you're travelling in the times that we're travelling at the moment, this space we're living in, COVID-19. And also want to give a big shout out to my beautiful father. Thank you very much for dinner last night, Dad. Fantastic. Me and my two sons joined Dad and had a good yarn from a distance, which was fine. We just sat in the backyard, come through the back fence, and virtually had dinner, and he lined it out there for us, and it was a fantastic catch up with him. Beautiful space. Your mob, have your say. Yarn up strong. 1-800-422-416.
I've been feeling like a lone wolf, dancing in the street light, howling at the moon. When I hear the beat, naraka babuyun, murmuram rurakei, that's what a brother do. Spreading that mood, bro, get me on the dance floor. We could have a dance off, do it all night. Feeling all juiced up, getting my groove on. Set it up super, we could take a flight, aight? I said, ooh, you got me feeling myself. Now put it on you, cool as hell. I said, ooh, you got me feeling myself. Now put it on you. In the mirror, what you really wanna see? Is the person looking back? Are you really on track? Are you really on the path to where you wanna be? Doing out of nungu, only know me. I ain't in the coma, I really don't sleep. I ain't even tripping every minute that I'm living. I'ma kill it on the rhythm, we can keep it low key. I said, ooh, you got me feeling myself. Now I put it on you. Cool as hell. I said, ooh, you got me feeling myself. Now I put it on you. Could be my favorite.
Won't you hold me tight? No more lonely nights. Lord, whisper your name in my ear.
My name's Raven and you're listening to Talk Black on BBN 98.7 FM.
True and correct, Raven. It is BBM 98.7 FM, and it is National Talk Black and Yarnum with the Bullion, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Nakari, live from First National Radio Station here in Cairns. That deadly number, if you want to have you say, 1-800-422-416. Got about 9 minutes left in the program, and then Murray signs off. But for your local mob, stay tuned, because Trendy Trev will take you right up to 1 o'clock for a special COVID-19 program, and you can have your say in Yarnum Strong. Don't forget that Australian Government's National COVID-19 Helpline, 1-800-020-080. If you want answers to your questions, any queries you may have, call that number, 1-800-020-080. Fantastic. Up to date and regarding coronavirus, everything you need to know, in the past 24 hours, Australia's death toll has risen to 71 after a third resident at a nursing home in Sydney died from the coronavirus. A new march house in Cadence in the city's west has been at the centre of an outbreak after an employee came to work with a symptomatic for 6 days. Anglicare has confirmed that a 92-year-old woman who was a resident at its Newmarch facility died this morning. So there are a total of 6,644 confirmed coronavirus cases in Australia, with 2,969 in New South Wales, 1,336 in Victoria, 1,024 in Queensland, 437 in South Australia, 546 in Western Australia, 200 in Tasmania, 104 in Australian Capital Territory, and 28 in Northern Territory. So this virus is still with us, so we can't be laxy-daisy. We need to keep focused and abiding by the rules, so to speak, and in regard to the shutdown of all industries, a lot of industries, most industries, and we need to just bear with it and run with it, and blessed are the flexible, and do what you need to do to keep your family safe and keep yourself safe. That's what it's all about, your mob. Have your say, squeezing the yarn here, 7 minutes to go on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. To Deadly Mob, thank you for your company.
She ticked me in and gave me my man.
And she said,
Too Deadly Down Under, their version, Nabalik Band, here on your Deadly Program, National Talk Black. Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for your Deadly Program, National Talk Black. Murray going to sign off here. Thank you very much for your company, your mob. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow on that Deadly number, 1-800-422-416. For your local mob here in Cairns, far north Queensland, stay on board because Trinity Trev will be back after the news and continue our yarns on the special COVID-19 program right up to 1 p.m. So you can have your say there, your mob locally, and yarn up strong. But thank you for your company, mob. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. Most importantly, stay safe, abide by the rules, and let's contain this deadly virus. Too Deadly, mob, yarn up soon.
This is who we are. This is our story. This is our culture. This is who we are. So don't give in and don't give up.